Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
I'm not going to review everything that we've talked about the last few weeks in this series that I'm calling Anchored, that I believe with all of my heart that the Lord prompted me to preach to you these series of messages, that we would be anchored as Christians, especially in the culture, in the day that we live in now, that we would be anchored in biblical truth as the word is being twisted and attacked. We need to know and be anchored in the word of God, so when the trials and the storms come, we won't be swayed or drifted away. We're anchored. Amen. And so that's why I feel like the Lord has put that on my heart as we go into this new season of 2025. And there's different things that I believe God has put on my heart to share with you over the last few weeks. But today, I want to go ahead and get right into this message. And I want to encourage all of us here. And let me just say this. When I preach today to you this message that God has put on my heart, I want you to know that I've already preached it to myself. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching with you, that God needs to help me as well in this area here. And I want to talk to you about being anchored in love. Anchored in love. Look to your neighbor and say, love. I want to talk to you this morning about being anchored in love. This past week, Brother Tony Jones sent me a post that I think he had received a few days ago, maybe even a week ago, and he sent it to me, and I read it, and then I read it again, and then somehow or another I had lost it, and I reached out to Tony. I said, send it to me again, because it was so powerful. And this is what the post said that Tony sent to me. Here's what it read. A physician once said that the best medicine for humans is love. And someone asked the physician, what if it doesn't work? And he smiled and said, increase the dose. Increase the dose. How many of you would say today that we live in a world right now that we need to increase the dose of love around us? We need to increase the dose. If it's not working at home, if it's not working at work or wherever in your relationship, you need to increase the dose. In fact, love is foundational to the mission here of this local church, because as our mission goes, which is here now on the screen, it says that we are a praying church that loves God and loves people, that we are a place of hope for anybody, anywhere, and the heart of this church is to reflect Jesus as we seek the lost, serve the suffering, and share life together as we grow spiritually. But what's foundational to all of that mission is love. Love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is foundational to the mission of this local church. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul was reminding the church in Ephesus that love is foundational to the church, and the love that the church should be anchored in love. And he tells them in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, it's actually a prayer that he's praying over the church, and he's praying to them that they would remember that love is foundational to the church, and love, we should be anchored in the love of God. And he says in this prayer, starting in verse 17, he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being the church, being rooted and grounded in love. In other words, be anchored in love. May you also be able to comprehend with all the saints That's the church. What is the width and length and depth and height? There's a picture of the cross. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Being filled with the fullness of God starts by having a knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. And I pray that every one of you in this place today know the love of Christ and you're grounded in that love. My prayer is, just like Paul prayed for that church in Ephesus to be anchored in love, I pray, God, help Mount Olive First PH Church to always be anchored in love. To be anchored in love. Now, hopefully we've all experienced some kind of dose of love in our life. I hope and pray that you've experienced a dose of love in your life, hopefully from your parents, the love you've received from them and the love you have for them. I hope you've received a dose of love from maybe a spouse, the love you have for them and the love you receive from them. I hope you're receiving love from your spouse. The love that you have for your children and the love that you receive from your children, the love that you have for family, for friends, the love that they have for you. I hope you've experienced that kind of dose of love in your life. One of the greatest doses of love that I have seen, I've never experienced it, but I've seen it, is the love grandparents have for their grandchildren. Are there any grandparents in the house today? Raise your hand. Let's give it up for the grandparents today. You're talking about a dose of love. What you see there is just extreme love through a grandparent to a grandchild. Now, I thought back when I was preparing, the Lord put it on my heart, how blessed my boys have been over the years by my parents and by Lisa's parents, that they have been spoiled rotten over the years because of grandparents. Grandparents, you need to stop that. We got a small group just for you here at the church to get you some help. I thought, man, the dose of love that grandparents have for their grandchildren. I remember, and I'm trying to move on quickly, but just to share with you a couple of stories. I remember my oldest son, Caden, when he was in elementary school, my dad would go pick him up from school. Now, I had to ride the bus. and they take him, pick him up, and he would come home from school, and I would go over there when I would get home from work, and Caden would be sitting. They had made him a special little table right in front of the TV in the living room, and they had him. I probably told this before, but I'm telling it again. They would fix him. He wanted a ketchup bacon bit sandwich. Who in the world wants a ketchup bacon bit sandwich? But they would make it for him, and he would sit there in the living room and take a bite, and bacon bits just falling out all over the floor. And I'm like, who are these people? Who are these people? And it would just go on and on with different things, and they would break something and tear up something, and you would, well, you know what? They didn't mean to do it. It's all right. Well, you know what? When I broke it and messed up and tore stuff up, I didn't mean it either. Who are these people? Grandparents are anchored in love. And if we as God's people are going to be anchored in love, we must have an understanding of God's love for us. And the Bible says that God, He is love. And the Bible says that He demonstrated His love to us, that even while we were yet sinners away from God, He sent His Son Jesus to come to die for us on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Christ died for us even while we were yet sinners, because God sent Him to us because He loves us. God's love for you and for me and for the world, the people, is an unconditional love. It's an unending love. And to illustrate the love of God, Jesus gave a very powerful story, a parable, to illustrate the kind of love that God has for us, the kind of love that we need to anchor in. And He tells it in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. You can turn there in your Bibles. Now, I'm not going to read to you everything, but your homework assignment for this week is for you to go back and read Luke 15, verse 11 through 32. It's the story of the prodigal son. You need to go back and read it this week. Now, just follow along with me. When you read the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, when we read it, we tend to put our focus on the son, and we need to focus on the son because there are some great lessons there. But I believe that when Jesus was telling this story, when Jesus was giving this parable, his point was not on the son, but his focus was on the father and his love for the son. I believe that was the focus Jesus had in mind. Now, in this parable, in this story, this father had two sons, and the younger son goes to the father, and he desires and demands that the father would give him his inheritance. And he said to his father, he says, "I want it now." This youngest son goes to his father, and he demands his inheritance, and he says, "I want it now." Now, before I go on, I want to just share with you something that I discovered in my studies through some of the Bible scholars and things that I research. And I want you to know that when Jesus is referring to this parable, this story, the culture of that time is not like what we have today. Well, it might be now, but it was a shame honor culture. The culture that his father and his sons lived in was a shame honor culture. What do you mean by that? People were shamed more than they were given honor. They were shamed. I mean, there was plenty of shame to pass on to people, to place on people. I mean, you would be shamed for anything, but there was seldom enough honor to go out. They wouldn't take time to honor people. The culture of that day was shame people, so it was a shame honor culture. And so when we know that, it gives us a better understanding of what's going on here in this story, in this parable. Knowing that tells us that this son, he goes to the father and he demands his inheritance, which is a shameful thing to do against his father. You know what he was saying to his father? He was saying to his father, by demanding that inheritance, he was saying to his father, "I wish you were dead." That's what he was saying. He was saying, "I wish you were dead." Instead of giving honor to his father, he was bringing shame on him and by wishing him dead. And not only was he bringing shame on his father, but he was also bringing shame on his family. He was bringing shame there in the community. This shame the son brought on his father and his family and community would have caused him to be hated by the people, to be rejected by the people, to be despised by the people, and to really be unlovable. And Jesus tells us that the father, he gives in to this son's request, and he gives him his inheritance. And the Bible says that the son goes off to a distant land, and he takes his inheritance and he makes an exchange to get money for it, and he takes everything that he's been given and he goes to a distant land and he wastes it on wild living. That's what the Bible says. He wasted it on wild living. And while he's there in that distant land, the Bible says a famine comes and hits the land, and everyone there in that land is starving. So this son, he takes a very shameful job according to the Jewish law and the Jewish custom, and he starts taking care of pigs. If you know the story, you've read it before. He starts working in a pig pen. Now, pigs are dirty. Pigs are nasty. Pigs smell. But bacon is good. Can I get an amen? The son, he wakes up in a pig pen. He wakes up in a pig pen one morning, and the Bible says he comes to his senses and he realizes that he would be better off at his father's house as a servant than serving food to pigs. So this shameful son, he gets up. The Bible says he gets up. He's dirty. He stinks. He's got the smell of pigs on him. He's got the smell of wild living and the world on him. And he begins to rehearse this speech that he has. And he's going over this speech in his mind, in his heart. And he's saying, when I head back home, I'm going to tell my father that I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And he starts rehearsing this speech. And he says, you know what? In this speech, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm not even worthy to be your son, but would you at least please make me your servant? And then out of a heart of repentance, he gets up and he begins to head back to his father. Now think about this a minute. Think about what I've just said to you. Can you imagine right now, can you imagine what may be going through the son's mind, what he is expecting when he goes back to his father? I'm sure he's expecting anger. I'm sure he's expecting to be punished. I'm sure he's expecting to be rejected, to be despised. He's expecting the worst. He's expecting, I told you so. He's expecting, look what you have done to our family. Look at the embarrassment that you have caused to our family. Look at the pain that you have caused our family. I am sure he was expecting the worst. But then we see the Father. We see the Father who expresses the love of God that we need to make sure that we are anchored in. I want you to notice with me the Father. The Father is looking in love. He's looking in love. In verse 20, it says that while the Son was still far off, he hadn't even made it home yet. He was far away from home, but the Father saw him coming. The Father was looking. He was looking with love. And you need to understand that about God's love. Our Heavenly Father is looking for you with loving eyes. He's looking for you with loving eyes. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you think you should be expecting because of your behavior. You have a Heavenly Father that is looking for you with loving eyes. This past week, oh man, what a week. I was blessed to have lunch with a man who at one time in his life told me that he was at the top of the world in business. He was in management. He was just a great businessman. And then he started to social drink. He started a social drink. And then one drink led to another drink. And let me pause here and give you part two of this sermon. You don't need to drink. You don't need to drink. Because one drink leads to two drinks. Two drinks leads to 24, 48. And this man said, I started social drinking, and then I would drink again and drink again. And then next thing you know, he says, I had lost everything that I had. Lost everything I had. Until finally, listen to me now. He's a businessman in the corporate world, started drinking, and then it led to a life of alcoholism. And then eventually, he found himself sleeping under a bridge not too far from this church. And he told me, he says, while I was under that bridge, the Lord came to me. When I was under that bridge, the Lord came to me. And he said, I had an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord kind of opened my eyes, and I came out from under that place. And eventually, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And now this man that I met with and had lunch with, he's now serving in a ministry where he's helping alcoholics and addicts, and he's giving back to the kingdom of God because the Lord went looking for him. All because the eyes of the Lord were looking for this man. I don't care who you are. God is looking for you. He's looking for you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. He's not looking to reject you, to despise you. He's not looking to hurt you. He's looking to love you. He's looking to save you. He's looking to forgive you. He's looking to restore you. He's looking to bless you. He's looking to use your life to bring glory and honor to his name. Aren't you thankful that the Father, our Heavenly Father, his eyes are looking with love? Then the Father is running. The Father's running. Notice he's running. It says in verse 20 that he was filled with love and compassion, and he ran to his son, and he embraced him and kissed him. Listen to me. I'm talking about a shame, honor culture. In that culture, old men didn't run. In my culture, old men don't run. Shame, honor. In that culture, the old man, it would have brought shame on him to run. But Jesus says that in that shame, honor culture, that this father is running to his son. Now, why is he running? I'll tell you why he's running. He's running in love. He's running in love, but he's running to get to his son before some of the family gets to the son, before some of the town and community get to the son, because if they get to him before the father gets to him, they're going to either mob him or even possibly murder him, because they know the shame that he's brought on the daddy. They know the shame he's brought on that family. They know the shame he's brought on that community. And in their mind, that daddy should be angry. He should be ready to punish this boy. So they could do it for him. And this father knows that. And he runs to this son of his, even with it bringing shame on him. He's already been shamed, and even more shame on him. He runs to the son to protect him. Praise God that the Lord runs after us to protect us, to embrace us. The father went on to embrace this son and kiss this son. You know what he was saying? You know what he was saying to his family and to the community around him? He's run to him. He's embraced him. He's given him a kiss. He's saying that he's mine, and I am lovingly protecting him, and you don't need to do anything against him. He's protecting him. Thank God that he lovingly protects us. And then we see the father covering the son. The father is covering the son in love. In verse 22, he says this right here. He looks back to his servants and he says, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Now, if I'd have told that to my boys, they'd have went home and my finest robe would have been a Ric Flair robe I have. I know y'all think I'm kidding, but I have one. There's a guy in our church gave me one for Christmas. His name's Rambo. Rambo Rouse. You tell everybody that Rambo comes to this church and he's on the security team. But it wasn't the Ric Flair robe in this house. It was the father's robe. Because the best robe in the house would have been the father's robe. And he tells them, go back and get the robe and put the robe on him, because I love him and I'm going to cover up all the dirt. I'm going to cover up all the failures. I'm going to cover up all the mistakes. I'm going to cover up all the smell. I'm going to cover up the wounds in his life. I'm going to cover up the shame in his life. Praise God for his love covering in our life. Praise God. He doesn't shame us. He doesn't condemn us. God covers us with his love. In fact, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Praise God, we have a heavenly Father that loves us and he covers us. Then notice the Father is also restoring. He says in verse 22, get a ring for his finger. Get a ring for his finger. The Father puts the family ring on him. What does that mean? It means that the son has officially been restored. The Father has restored him back to the family, and not only restored him, but he's given him authority now. The Father is saying, this is my son. I'm putting this ring on him. He's not going to be a servant. He's in this family. He belongs to me. I restore him, and I give him authority. Man, praise God that we have a Father who lovingly restores us. And then the Father is also not only restoring with love, but he's also redeeming. Verse 22, after he told him to get the ring, he says, get sandals for his feet. You study that. The sandals were a sign that you had been redeemed. If you were going to sell property or buy property, you would go to the city gate, and there during that transaction, for whatever reason, they would take off their sandal and use that as a sign of the purchase or the selling of something. You see that pictured in the book of Ruth with Boaz as the kinsman redeemer, how he redeems Ruth and how he uses his sandal there as a sign that she's been redeemed. The sandals were a sign to this son to say, you know what? You have blown an inheritance, but I am redeeming you. I am purchasing you. You now have a new inheritance with me, and you have a future with me. This son has been redeemed, and he's saying, now you have a future, you have a hope, and you have an inheritance, and it comes from me. And then we see the father is celebrating. Verse 23 and 24. He says, kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. One translation says, so the celebration began. Can I tell you this morning, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are celebrated by God. You are celebrated. The Bible says that when one soul repents, there is a rejoicing going on in heaven. There is a celebration going on when you come back to the Father through Jesus Christ. When you come in repentance, I'm telling you right now, if you have ever made a decision and you are living for the Lord and you've repented of your sins and your faith is in Jesus Christ, I'm letting you know that you have a God that is celebrating you. He is celebrating you, celebrating the fact that you're no longer lost, but now that you've been found. You're no longer dead in sin, but now that you're alive to God. He's celebrating you. And everything that I've mentioned to you here about this father in this story, God has done it for you. God has done it for me. God has done it for you. And we need to learn to anchor in that love, to embrace that love, so we can express that love. Don't miss that, please. We need to embrace God's love so we can express God's love to others. The Bible commands us to walk in love, to express God's love to one another. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. There you go. You have to embrace the love that Christ has for you so you can express it to other people. He says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The same love that we have embraced through Jesus Christ is the same love that we need to express to one another. Please get that. You have to embrace this love, the love that's been demonstrated to us through this father in this story. You have to be willing to embrace that kind of love so you can express it. And here's how we express it. Just follow with me just for the next few minutes. I'm almost there, almost done. How do we express God's love that we've embraced? How do we express it to one another? Well, I would offer to you, just like the Father, we are to be looking out for those. We need to be looking out for one another. We need to be looking at one another with love. We need to be looking out for one another. Just like the Father, we need to be looking to one another, looking to love each other, looking to pray for one another, looking to help one another, looking to forgive one another, looking to encourage one another, looking to bless one another. We need to take that love that we have for one another as a church family, and we need to let that love, let us be anchored in it at all times, and we need to take it outside of this church right here to the lost around us, and we need to look at the lost. We need to look at them with love. We shouldn't be looking at them with eyes that would look for a smell or anything like that. We should be looking the way this father looks, and we should be looking to love people, not shame them, not condemn them, but looking with love. God, help us to do that. Anchor in love with your eyes. And then we express God's love by running to one another. To embrace them. In other words, when you run to somebody like this father ran to this son, you run to them to get close to them. And we need to get close to people so we can help them and protect them when they're facing storms and battles. When you see a brother, when you see a sister that is going through a battle, they're going through a storm, you can run to them. You can run to them and embrace them and help protect them and help them in the situations they're going through. Get close to others that are carrying burdens in their life so you can help bear those burdens. Get close to people so you can listen to them, so you can encourage them. Run to them so you can hold them up. When people are low in life, run to them so you can lift them up in love. We got to anchor in that kind of love. Run to them. Run to them. I see that brother, I see that sister, and they're hurting, and they're in a battle in their life spiritually. The devil is wreaking havoc in their life. Run to them and help them and embrace them and let them know they're not alone, that they have somebody with them. We can express God's love by covering for one another. Just like this father covered his son with that robe, we can cover one another with grace. Come on, friend. Some of you need to be willing to give grace to people. Give grace. You need to cover with grace, cover people with mercy. Give mercy. You want mercy? Give mercy, the Bible says. Cover one another with prayer. Cover one another with protection. Love will cover one another. Listen, cover your spouse. Hey, husbands, cover your wife. Wife, cover your husband. Cover them. Pray for them, protect them, encourage them, give grace to them, give mercy to them, cover your children, cover your family, cover your friends, cover the brothers and sisters in the church, cover your pastor, cover people, come on, cover them. Lord, help me. Let's move on. We can express God's love by helping restore one another too. You can do that by reminding people that they are restored now and they belong to Jesus Christ. They belong to the family of God. The Bible says this right here. If somebody has sinned and got away from God, the Bible says that if you come alongside them to restore them, you need to restore them gently. You read that before, right? You restore them gently. You can't be hard on people that have drifted away. If they drifted away from the Lord, tenderly and gently try to restore them. If they're mad about something, if they've been hurt, maybe a church hurt or whatever it may be, you have to tenderly and gently restore them. If they failed in their life, maybe a moral failure or any kind of failure in their life, and they've just kind of gave up on living for the Lord, we as God's people need to be anchored in love and gently restore them back. If they have forgot God and what He has done in their life, and you're like, how in the world can they just walk away and forget what the Lord's done in their life? And as sometimes as confusing as that is and as upsetting as that is, we still have to gently and tenderly try to restore them back to the Lord. God help us to restore one another. God help us to give hope to one another. We need to be given hope. If you want to be anchored in love, give hope to people. Let them know they have a future with Jesus Christ, that they don't have to live the old life. They can have a new future, a new life in Jesus Christ. They can have an inheritance. Listen, you might have blown everything there is to blow. You might be like that man under that bridge and you've lost everything. But I can tell you right now, friend, I can give you hope that what the enemy has taken and stolen from you, God can give it back. Can anybody say, thank you, Lord? Hallelujah. God can give it back. And we need to express God's love by celebrating one another. Celebrating one another. I was thinking when I read that about those commentaries and those Bible scholars talking about that Middle Eastern culture of the shame honor. It's almost like we live in that now. We'd rather shame people than honor people. But we are to celebrate. We are to celebrate people. And celebrate means honoring people, not shaming them. Celebrate means that we don't condemn people, but we rejoice with them. The Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice. We should be celebrating people. Don't be jealous of what God is doing in somebody's life. Celebrate what God is doing in somebody's life. Come on, friends, celebrate what God is doing. Hey, maybe it's in another church. God is doing something. Celebrate the goodness of God. Maybe you see a brother or sister that's just getting a blessing from the Lord. Celebrate what God is doing in their life. We should be celebrating that people are getting saved. We should be celebrating that lives are being changed. Friend, if you lose your celebration over souls being saved and lives being changed, you need to run to the altar today and ask God to get a hold of your heart. We need to be celebrating what God is doing. Celebrate people are drawing near to God. In God's love, celebrate one another. Being anchored in love is about celebrating what God is doing. Celebrate the people at your work. If somebody gets a promotion, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Well, it should have been me. Well, no, forget it. Just celebrate what God is doing in their life. Just celebrate. And don't fake it either. Pastor Kevin, if you'll come, brother. Celebrate. How many of you got a reason to celebrate? Celebrate the cross. Celebrate the empty grave. Celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate the faithfulness of God. Celebrate the power of God. We have so much to celebrate in our life. And think about our church family around us. I celebrate and thank God for each and every one of you and what God is doing in your life. We need to make sure that we're anchored in this kind of love. And listen, you have to embrace the love before you can express the love. So the very first thing you have to do, if you want to walk in this kind of love and be anchored in this kind of love, the first thing you have to do is receive Jesus Christ into your life. Friend, listen. The cross is the greatest instrument, the greatest symbol of love there is. Jesus Christ was crucified on that cross for you and for me. He gave his life on the cross. That is the greatest act of love ever. And may God help us to embrace that love. And how do you embrace the love that God demonstrated to us through his son Jesus? You repent of your sins. You repent of your sins. That means you have a change of mind and a change of heart, and you turn from sin and you turn to Christ. Some of you need to do that this morning. Some of you need to repent of your sins, and then you need, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. He's the perfect sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, he will take away your sin and he will forgive you. He will forgive you. But you have to embrace it. And then when you embrace it, love is powerful. The love of Christ in you begins to be expressed to the people around you. And Jesus says, by this, all men will know you are my disciples because of your love for one another. Lord, please anchor me in that kind of love. Anchor me, Lord, in your unconditional love. Anchor this church. Anchor this church in a love that is looking, a love that is running, a love that is covering, a love that is restoring, a love that is giving hope, a love that is celebrating one another. God, help us to have that kind of love in our life, to be anchored in it, rooted in it, grounded in it, as Paul said. Would you stand with me, please? Very reverently, please. Just stand right there where you are. The only way you can anchor in this love is to ask the Holy Spirit to produce it in you. He has to be the one to produce it in you. How many of you want to be that vessel where love is just flowing through your life? Love is flowing through your life. I mean, come on. I want to be that vessel. I want to be a vessel that kind of love can flow through so the people around me will know and see Jesus Christ. He'll be expressed. But it only happens as the Holy Spirit produces it. Would you just close your eyes right there where you are? Begin to pray. Let me just first ask, is there anybody here that needs to be saved? What do I mean by that? You listen, the Bible says we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It's a separation from God in a place called hell. But the good news is through Jesus Christ that there's the gift of salvation through him. And if we'll put our faith in him, repent of our sins, and receive him as Lord and Savior by faith, We are saved, our sins are forgiven, and we can have the promise of heaven to be with our Savior forever and ever. Friend, if you need to do that, that needs to be the main thing right now. You need to embrace the love of God. If you need to embrace that love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross for you, would you do me a favor? Nobody looking around, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Would you pray for me, Pastor? God bless you, sir. I see the hand back there, ma'am. I see your hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? God bless you, sir. God sees your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? God bless you, son. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, right there where you are, if you lifted your hand, or even if you didn't lift your hand, would you just pray this prayer? Pray this prayer. Jesus, I repent of my sins, and I receive you right now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I believe that you died on the cross in my place. And because of the blood that you shed on that cross, my sins are forgiven. And today I put my faith in you. I thank you for the cross, and I thank you for the empty grave, knowing that you were crucified and buried, and on the third day you were raised back to life. And because you live, I can live forever in eternity with you. So, Lord, I receive you right now, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and that, Lord, you are my Savior today, my living Savior, my living Lord, and I trust you, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer right there, nobody looking around, if you prayed that prayer, lift your hand, please. Lift your hand. God bless you. 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 Friend, there's a rejoicing going on in heaven. Let's celebrate the love of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to open up your arms to the Lord right now. Everybody in here, please. And pray this prayer with me. Father, we need the kind of love that you demonstrated to us, God. We need the Father's love that's demonstrated through this story. God, I pray right now that through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would produce love in every single one of us right now. We pray, Lord, that we would look with that love and run with that love, God, and that we would restore people with that love, and we would give hope, Lord, with that love, and we would celebrate, God, all in love, that we would do everything in love. Lord, help us to be grounded and to be anchored in love. Love to our family, love to our friends, love to this community, love to our enemies. God, help us. It's not possible, Lord, in our own strength. We need your Holy Spirit right now to produce that love in us. Pray that prayer. And my brother, let's sing a song together and let's declare the love of God to fill us right now, right there where you are. Make it an altar.
You're a good, good Father.
Yes, God.
Good.